Welcome to Going Deeper. This is our Q&A show where we get to sit down or stand up with some of our staff and our ministry leaders here at Mount Rainier Christian Center and learn a little bit more about the sermons that are preached or learn a little bit more about just the different ministries that happen here at MRCC that we don't get a chance to explore very often over the course of a Sunday morning just because of the hustle and bustle and stuff. So we get to slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're joining us for the first time, welcome. We are so thrilled that you're here with us. And if you are returning, then thank you so much for coming back. We hope you've been enjoying. We hope you'll enjoy the discussion that we get to have today. And today we're going to be talking about the continuation of our series Cornerstones,
yeah.
Right? That we've recently started.
Part two.
Yep, part two, which is dead fake, is a sermon, right?
Yeah.
And the entire idea behind this message is that God wants to set us free of our fear of death.
Right.
Right. And so diving right into it, you share early on in the message this passage of scripture in Hebrews 2,
mm-hmm.
which says that Jesus, by his death, destroyed him who held power of death,
yeah.
Satan. What does it mean that Satan had the power
yeah.
of death?
Yeah, yeah,
what does that mean?
So, you know, the very next sentence in that verse says he came to set free those who were held in slavery by their fear of death, right?
Okay.
So what the Bible is telling us is that the enemy, the devil, works through our fear to influence our choices, you know? And so that's the idea. And, you know, death, our fear of it has the power to make us afraid, you know, of the call to virtue and goodness and righteousness, makes us afraid of the future, makes us afraid of the present. And what Jesus comes to do is to set us free from that fear because it's a life-controlling thing. Right? Many people live in such fear of death. So I'll give you an example. You know, if our fear of death is great, too great, we lack the strength to be sacrificial.
Yeah.
We lack the strength to give ourselves away. If our fear of death is too great, then we cling to life too tightly, which gets in the way of our doing what may be right and good that you know requires us to rise above. So there's the idea.
Yeah. And so then kind of on that note, when did death sort of originate or happen? When did death become a thing?
Yeah.
Was that also the devil's doing? Was that, you know, how
right.
does that work?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Brandon. We can get in some deep water.
Yeah.
Here. So what the Bible tells us in the beginning is that when mankind sinned, then death entered the world. And, you know, God's plan in the beginning was not for us to die. And obviously God's plan in the end is we don't die.
Yes.
But in this interim, we experience death as a consequence of sin. Now, you know, to get into the weeds on the technical aspects of that, you know, much more time than we have. But it's interesting that the Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve sinned and God banished them from the garden, you know, he put an angel there so they couldn't get back in because, and again, this is all metaphor, but it's
yeah.
powerfully rich and significant, because if they got back in and then entered into eternal life without the redemption that comes by grace through faith, that's the worst of all outcomes, right? So there's a sense in which death is actually a short-term reality to help us get to a longer-term blessing.
Something that we might look at as a complete and pure punishment that
right.
is actually functioning as a
redemptive element.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, that's, boy, we could talk about that
yeah.
for a long time, but the reality is that, you know, I love what Psalm 90 tells us. The psalmist writes, "Teach us to number our days, Lord, that we might gain a heart of wisdom." When we live in the shadow of death, it sharpens our thinking. It puts us in touch with reality. It forces us to face the issues of righteousness or the lack thereof,
priorities,
judgment, all that
right.
kind
yeah,
of stuff,
yeah.
right? So it's actually a tool. You know, when I worked in the medical field, you know, there were times when we would inflict pain in order to bring healing. It's kind of like that,
yeah.
right? So death originates when sin entered the world, but then God uses it to in our redemptive process. But having it sharpen our thinking, which is what we're talking about, is completely different from living in the fear or terror of it.
Yes.
And Jesus comes to set us free from that fear.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on to our next thought here, as is so often the case with fear, right? I think that much of it is rooted in not knowing or understanding something, right? Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, oftentimes sure. our fear is in the unknown. Know. Yes. Yeah, right. So many of us fear death because we know what life here looks like, right? Right? But we don't know what life after death looks yeah. like. So now I know I'm not expecting you to have a complete definitive answer for this, right? Sure. But is there any scripture that tells us what it might look like on the other side of death?
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, is it fluffy clouds, porcelain angels? Like, what are we talking here, yeah. right?
Well, the best way to conceptualize And you know, the Bible does give us a lot of word pictures. We have that picture at the end of Revelation, the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, all that. Some of the things we know is it's physical, you know, but without all the negatives. So I like to put it this way when I'm just yeah. chatting over the kitchen table. Imagine life here on earth minus sin, death, time constraints, sickness, violence, racism, prejudice, right?
Yeah.
Subtract all of that, because in the beginning, heaven 1.0, you know, the Garden of Eden,
yeah.
it was earthy, you know,
tangible.
Tangible. Adam and Eve had tasks, right? And the consistent picture in scripture is that life after death is like that, only yeah. better and more so,
yeah.
right? So, you know, we're not just sitting around, right? We're learning piano and exploring history and talking to each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there's this full gamut, you know, in a nutshell, because obviously we only have so much time. In a nutshell, heaven is the endless ongoing discovery of more of God.
Yeah.
Because he's infinite. It goes on forever. Yeah. So we discover him in a million different ways forever. And we do that together.
Yeah.
So think tangible, like you said, you know, but minus
yeah.
all the junk. Picture a perfect Saturday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Here in the Northwest yeah. with the sun shining. But this Saturday might last 100,000 years.
Yeah.
And you and I could sit down and start to have a chat. And there's no need to be anywhere else.
Maybe
there's
it'd no finally need to be a long enough weekend, right?
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It would be a weekend as long as you've ever wanted or needed.
Yeah.
But again, you know, I like to talk to people. I say, hey, what if Bill Gates handed his fortune to you today? What would you do? I'd go to Tahiti and lay on the beach. Yeah, you would.
But only for a while.
For a little while, yeah. right? And then you'd go, man,
you
I want to do stuff.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what heaven is.
Yeah.
Interestingly, and I'll leave this behind, when Jesus talks about heaven in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, he says these people that were faithful on earth are invited to greater responsibilities and challenges, all right? The man who had 10 talents was put in charge of 10 cities, Jesus said. The word picture is of being able to grow
yeah.
and to keep developing. I know you're a musician, right?
Yep.
So, oh, now you can learn another instrument. Now yep. you can learn another instrument, right? And it just goes on forever. So, yeah.
Yeah. And in other words, and kind of to wrap it all up, it's more familiar than we might assume or think, right?
Yes.
You know, we have this idea, many of us, that it's this alien scape and going to be totally different, but it's going to be this, it'll be much more familiar than we expect.
Oh, very familiar, yeah. but minus yeah. all the negatives. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so now moving on to our next question. 1 Thessalonians talks about the dead in Christ rising physically and
yeah.
how Jesus' resurrected body was tangible, right?
Yeah.
Is this rising from the dead separate from our eternal existence in heaven, or does it kind of mark the beginning? Like, in other words, what happens to us between death and that resurrection?
We don't know.
Okay. We don't know. Okay.
Here's what we do know.
Yeah.
That, first of all, the Bible is crystal clear that to be absent from the body, we go immediately into the presence of Jesus. Okay.
Right.
So Jesus says to a thief on the cross, who's just about to die, today you'll be with me in paradise, right?
Yeah.
So what the Lord wants us to understand is that when we leave this life, we go immediately into his presence. Paul says the same thing when he says, I desire to depart and be with Christ. I'm ready
yeah.
to die. I want to die.
Yeah.
But I got stuff to do, and so I want to do
yes.
stuff. So
the older I get, the more I sympathize with him.
Well, there you go.
Oh, man.
So yeah, the idea is of that physical reality.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, Paul's going to tell us in 1 Corinthians 15, it's all about being imperishable now. So
yeah.
it's not a breaking down body. It's not a decaying body. It's not an aging body. And you just start to put all of those things together, and that's the picture that emerges. Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Moving on. Now here's kind of a question that, we'll see what the answer and what
yeah.
we kind of get here. Does death for a non-believer mean the end of any chance at redemption or saving grace?
Yes.
Yes.
But, you know, we're talking about things above our pay grade here,
yeah.
right? So God hasn't totally revealed all realities, but You know, the Bible knows nothing of, for example, the doctrine of purgatory, where people, you know. So Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed for each man to die once and then to face judgment. So there's not like this reboot where we, you know, that's why the Bible can say, for example, now is the day of salvation. You know, here in this life on earth, we need to make choices, you know, and we need to not delude ourselves about them, avoid them. We need to be honest with ourselves, honest with God. In fact, you know, Paul tells us in Romans that the anger of God, which is a real thing, is rooted in our being dishonest with ourselves. You know, it's a very fatherly anger. And, you know, we've all known people who have so deceived themselves that they can't find their way back. So what happens in this life is important, you know, and our destiny is established in this life, which is why Jesus offers his grace to anyone willing to receive it. Right.
Yeah.
So, there's not a reboot. There's not a game over type, you know, let's restart thing.
It's restart.
No, it's, we have to make that decision here and now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Taking us to our last question, and you kind of mentioned judgment, which goes in hand with what we're curious about here. Yeah. John 5:24 says that whoever hears and believes in Jesus won't be condemned. So death doesn't mean judgment for believers, right? But don't believers still face judgment for their actions on earth? So can you give us a breakdown of what the difference is between that, those judgments?
Great verse, because that's Jesus speaking.
Yeah.
He says, if you believe in me, then judgment is no longer, you know, the thing that you're facing.
Yeah.
Because by believing in me, you've become honest with yourself. You're being honest with God. And so, you know, you're good. Now, the Bible does teach, however, about the judgment of believers, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says that to the degree that we use our earthly lives to help people, to serve people, to share the gospel pointedly, to help be God's church in the world, God's community, God's people, to the degree that we do that, we receive a greater or lesser reward in heaven. Now, you know, let's break down all the angst that goes with that, right? You know, nobody in heaven is going, darn, I missed out.
They're enjoying their Saturday.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. But at the same time, there's an honest and authentic respect that God teaches us, affirmation, whatever you want to call it, for those who have chosen to live their lives in a more godly way, in a more Christ-like way. You know, when I try to picture this in an analogy, I'll say, hey, you know, I graduated from high school with a 1.6 grade point average, right? I was a slacker. You know, do I obsess over that? No. I graduated high school, right?
Yeah.
But let's be honest, you know, a lot of people put a lot more into it, got a lot more out of it than I did. So that's the kind of the idea, you know, that in heaven, God's going to come and say, well, Craig, you know, and you'll go, yeah, you're right. I kind of dropped the ball there. But at the same time, he's going to say, but here and all these other things, did a great job, you know. And so there's this personal thing. The significance of that is that what we do with our lives here on earth really matters.
Yeah.
You know, it really matters to God, because he put us here to serve and love each other, to share his good news. And every day matters. I have a little saying that I actually stole it from a movie.
Okay.
I stole it from Avatar.
Okay.
You remember the Na'vi, they say, I see you, right?
Yep.
I like to say, God sees you, your father sees you. And so, we could get into a lot of stuff there. But yeah, we have passed from the judgment that divides eternal separation from God with fellowship with God, heaven and hell. But there's a judgment of our works on earth, you know, which incentivizes me to do some good things with my life. You know?
When I was, when my sister and I were both really young, my parents decided one day, because, you know, my parents have been gun owners for quite a while, and they wanted to teach us properly as kids, right? And so they left an unloaded gun in our toys to kind of see how we would respond and help be a teaching moment, right? And my sister and I were both playing, and we both found it, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, let's go, let's pick it up and go bring it to mom and dad. My sister said, wait. She said, let's leave it here and not touch it. And we'll go tell mom and dad. And I was like, okay. So we went, right? And we both ended up at the correct conclusion. My parents were proud of us for recognizing that we did it. But, and so they rewarded us, right?
Yeah.
But my sister got a little extra, because they were proud that she had that, you know, a little bit extra of like, let's not touch the thing, right? And so I think in that, and I was totally fine with it. I was like, yeah, she's the one who suggested that. That makes sense.
That's a great way to picture it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, to close out the show, if you could give one short piece of encouragement or just a reminder to folks who are watching from this message, what would it be?
Yeah, well, I think I would just echo the Apostle Paul. He says, man, I'm looking forward to dying. I can't wait to get there. What's ahead of me is so awesome. When we remember that, it gives us the courage to sacrifice here and now. It gives us the courage to be courageous, brave, and, you know, to do all the things that, you know, a lot of time when we live in the fear of death, we're constantly afraid of missing out. We're constantly afraid here on earth, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do the other thing, or I'll never get to, right? But God says, no, you got forever.
Yeah.
Forever. And of all people, believers should be the most relaxed, knowing that whatever we miss out on here, whatever we give up for the sake of somebody else, we have forever. So there should be this tremendous peace and willingness to be the servant, to be the giver, to be the helper, you know, in life, because we know that what we have is so great and goes on forever.
That's what I'll start telling people when they recommend their favorite TV shows. I'll get around to it when I get to heaven. I'll have plenty of time to watch it.
Right?
Well, fantastic. That is all for this episode, folks. Greg, thank you for joining us today. And thank you for watching. We hope that you enjoyed, and we will see you next time on Going Deeper.